What's going on, everybody? It's your boy Juju, aka Straw Hat Goofy, your movie guy, here with another episode of Get Wrecked with Straw Hat Goofy. There's no guests today. This is just going to be a big train of thought, right? For those of you guys who are watching on YouTube, just seeing this, you'll notice that I'm in my office, but there is an inflatable bed to my right here. And the reason for that is because I have families currently staying with me. We just recently had a funeral just yesterday. So, you know, I had some family coming in from Texas. They're staying with me. And so we're just pretty much like getting that together. This is where I'm sleeping. I got my aunt, my grandmother taking my bed. It doesn't matter to me. Everything's all good. As long as Ever is staying in her bed, then everything's all fine. But there's been a very eventful 2 weeks on my part. We didn't have an episode last week. So sorry for that. It's just that I've been traveling. I was actually in Northern Ireland, Belfast. I can't tell you what I was doing, but I will tell you that I cannot wait for you guys to see the content that comes out of that. I swear to it was one of the coolest things that I've ever done. One of the best trips that I've ever took. And I cannot wait for you guys to see it. But the following week after that, the week leading up to right now, I was actually at CinemaCon. And for those who don't know, CinemaCon is a big convention that is held in Vegas, where a lot of the movie studios not only pat themselves on the back about how much money they made in the previous year, but they also reveal the slate of movies that they're going to be coming out with this year as well as the coming year. So a lot of like studios use this as an opportunity to hype people up on like future movies, big announcements, stuff like that. So what we're going to do here today is we're going to be talking about a movie that I just saw yesterday, Civil War from A24, directed by Alex Garland. And we're going to do a review for that as well as talk about some of my favorite things to come out of CinemaCon. So we got a really good episode for you guys today. Big train of thought, big things. We're going to get through this in a little under an hour. We're going to try and do it in under an hour. So make sure you guys stay tuned. Until then, Charlie Curtis Beard, drop that theme song.
Wake up, Juju. Time to go to work.
All right. Can we talk about
wake up, I get it, I get it. Wake up, I get it, I go with everyone saying I'm up next. It's not my fault that the vocals are gold, that making the haters so upset. My life is a movie, the way that I roll, they saying I'm goofy, but baby, you know I'm making everybody obsessed, cause we the best, how we get wrecked, and I know. We gonna get wrecked, we gonna get wrecked. We gonna get wrecked, we gonna get wrecked. We gonna get wrecked, we gonna get wrecked. We gonna get wrecked, we gonna get wrecked.
I love it, I love it, I love it. Okay, so first thing we want to talk about is A24's Civil War, directed by Alex Garland. Now, for those who know, like A24 is like just kind of like really big right now because they've been around for a short time, but they have been making themselves known for telling these unconventional stories, these really cool stories. And I feel like Civil War is like one of their first like big blockbuster, high budget kind of like action flicks, right? Like obviously we had Everything Everywhere All at Once, but that had a low budget, still very heavy on the action, but this just feels different to like the typical A24 flair. Now, Civil War is the story of America going through a second civil war, and everything's just pretty much divided by not necessarily a explicitly told political standpoint. Is not as black and white as most people would say. It's not as, or I should say, it's not as red and blue as most people should say. It's not necessarily a Democratic versus Republican thing that like we all thought it was going to be. But Alex Garland likes to leave things a lot to the imagination, right? There's the Western forces made up of California and Texas. There's the Florida Alliance. And then there's the Loyalists, which is led by the President of the United States, who's going through his third term right now and doesn't want to leave. But the story like will pretty much forego taking us to all these places and letting us see all these different battles and military might and soldiers and things like that. Instead, choosing to focus on this group of press people, photographers, journalists, played by Kirsten Dunst, Kaylee Spaney, and I cannot remember the other two actors' name, but they're both really good. But it's pretty much becomes a road trip movie because these photographers and journalists are making their way to Washington, D.C. to get to the president because they highly believe that the president's about to get got and they want to get some like final interviews and a final photo and things like that because that's the big story. Now, what I found really interesting about this film is that I really wanted to see like what was the cause of this civil war, right? Because if you live in America or if you live in the United States more specifically, because it's all North America, right? Canadians are technically American when you think about it. North America. Yeah. I'm not really good at geography, guys. Don't come at me in the comments. I swear to God. But yeah, so like we as United States men know that America is deeply divided on a bunch of different issues, right? And in this film, they necessarily keep things very broad in saying that one of these issues that you know divides us is going to be the cause of this war, right? We know that the president has something to do with it. They drop little nuggets, like he did strikes on citizens and cities, like he wouldn't leave his office for his third term, stuff like that. But it's never explicitly stated. And I feel like a lot of people, there's been a lot of conversation of people getting turned off from that movie. Either it wasn't enough, like seeing the rest of the war and focusing on this like group of people moving through it, or it doesn't really explain why the United States is the way it is. But I really do feel like the movie does take a very clear stance of taking this kind of like anti-totalitarianism like view of the United States, right? Because the president clearly just wants to like have power, and the way he speaks, the president's played by Nick Offerman, by the way, who's not really in the movie all that much. The president really acts more as like a MacGuffin character. It's someone that all the characters are just kind of moving towards, and they kind of talk about him in distance, like, oh, the president did this, the president may do that, and you don't really get like full scenes with him outside of the opening and the ending, right? But Nick Offerman is just kind of like that character who, in the few moments that we see them, he's speaking in a sense of like he's not necessarily the president's looking after the best interests of his country or even trying to keep the country together at this point. He's speaking about like the forces as if like they're a terrorist group, more specifically like a domestic terrorist group. He's saying things like, we will crush the rebellion, we will do a deciding victory, like all these type of things. And it doesn't sound like something that a president should be saying, but this movie is definitely like, again, taking a stance against kind of like that form of totalitarianism where, you know, it's mainly used to suppress individuality. And let's just say these people within the Civil War are very individual. Obviously, like there's Florida, that's its own thing. There's the Loyalists, that's their only thing. The Western states are their own thing. And as they move throughout these like type of places, you see just people going to war with other people, right? And so it's just kind of insane that that's what's going on. But the thing that got me really interested in this movie is the story that it's really choosing to focus on, and that is of the press. Now, I have a lot of things to say about what is happening, but we'll start with Kirsten Dunst's character. Kirsten Dunst's character is someone who has pretty much seen a lot, been through a lot. They're there to capture what's going on no matter what. One of the first scenes that we see is like there's like a giant explosion. I won't say what happens, but to see her like clearly like after an explosion being shaken up by it, just get up and just immediately start like shooting with the coldest expression, like it's just another Tuesday, that gave me a lot of insight into what her character is and what she's about. But then you can also see this look in her eyes. Kirsten Dunst is so look great with delivering these looks that say more than words can ever say, right? It's almost the callous, dead behind the eyes, but also very much like everything is affecting them on some level. They just can't necessarily show up because that's the job, right? And Kirsten Dunst does a great job walking that line between being like extremely wounded by the things that are going on while at the same time steeling themselves to pretty much get the job done. And that's very like admirable, like not only as an actress, but just like as a job when it comes to being a journalist, specifically an embedded journalist, when they go to like, these locations where like military operations are happening and they're seeing everything that's happening. Speaking of like the things that you see, it's horrible, right? Like you see bodies everywhere. You see essentially brother against brother, like just normal people just like murdering each other for like things that you don't even know what is for, right? So it's almost like senseless violence, but you know, in their eyes, it's like very, very important. But the other character that I feel like the movie kind of runs through is Kaylee Spaney's character. Now, Kaylee Spaney, like we've seen her in Priscilla very recently. She played Priscilla Presley, and she was really, really great in that. A lot of buzz for her for the Oscars during that time. Unfortunately, she did not get nominated. Here, she's proving why she's like one of the most promising young actresses to be working right now, because she starts off the movie as a very kind of like wide-eyed, innocent person, which is very like pretty funny because she's a wide-eyed, innocent person who wants to be a war photographer, right? You're going into these places that inherently just takes away your innocence. And so you already know that this character is going to be going through a change once she gets introduced to Kirsten Dunst's character, who's been through that and has been hardened and has been kind of like, you know, throughout this whole thing. So I feel like she has one of the more interesting character like journeys to go through throughout this movie, watching her almost, and this is where I want to get to the conversation of what it means to be a journalist in these type of things. Like, what does it mean to like almost get addicted to the truth, or get addicted to kind of like the action and being in it and like trying to get the shot and trying to like find these moments, even in moments of like tragedy and darkness and violence? What does that mean to kind of like be obsessed with it, right? And throughout the movie, I just find it very intriguing that she was getting almost like obsessive and almost reckless and almost like addicted to what was happening around her. It's almost like she couldn't stop, right? So going from innocent to that frame of mind, it was just a very interesting character arc for her. And, you know, it was almost like we were seeing her morph into the Kirsten Dunst's character. And there's a lot of things happening here between the two. Whenever they have a conversation, I was just leaning in, tuned in to what was going on. There's one moment where she asks Kirsten Dunst's character, if I had died here, would you have gotten a shot of me? And Kirsten Dunst says, what do you think, right? And then throughout the movie, you could tell that if Kirsten Dunst's character was to die, Kaylee would get a shot of her. And it's just interesting to see that thing kind of flip. But I describe this movie as almost like the most violent road trip movie that you can ever think of, right? Because it's about these characters who are traveling across the United States in order to get to the president, and they're just getting into these situations of violence and things that are just kind of, you know, watching people go to war with each other, and it's just kind of, it's messed up, right? But the thing that really interested me about that was they're press, right? And they almost like move through these things as if like being press is like the shield, right? Like they don't necessarily say, I side with this side, I side with this side. They don't even necessarily say that we need to show the truth against the president. We need to show what the president is doing wrong, or we want to, this is what this side is doing wrong, this is what this side is doing wrong. They're just here to capture it. And then they just want other people to kind of like ask the questions themselves. They literally even say that, like, get the shot. We have other people ask the questions. We do not ask questions. And personally, like, I don't necessarily believe in that, because at the end of the day, what happens is that if you're out there to capture the truth, which is what a journalist should be doing, right? They should be there to kind of reveal the truth, be objective, and things of that sort. But then to leave it up to the imagination of a deeply divided nation, then what does that mean, right? It's like you're trying to get the truth, but then you're leaving it up to the truth to be misconstrued, right? So, like, with me going into that with that frame of mind and witnessing this throughout the movie, I almost saw them as almost like these like bloodthirsty paparazzi vultures almost. And it almost felt like I can liken these people to like almost content creators that are more obsessed with getting the shot than they are with like human decency, or just kind of, you know, just more obsessed with the job than like the people that are involved with it. And in a way, these characters are using the badge of press as a shield in order to move into these places, right? There's many moments where they're kind of, and I don't know how an embedded like photographer or journalist would like conduct themselves. I don't know how accurate they're being, but within this movie, they are literally there with soldiers, like right next to them, side by side, as soldiers are shooting other people. And they're literally behind them, like getting the shot of them shooting other people. And that was just very confusing for me, because I was just kind of like, they're shooting people, just not with guns, right? If that makes sense. And so it's like almost, they're like almost like the ignored force within this whole thing. And it's almost like they're protected because of their neutrality, right? If they're neutral and letting other people fight, does that mean they're not, do you absolve them of not helping, right? Like, they're watching people die versus helping people live. And that's what like really got me. It's like, you could be doing this. Like, what do you believe if you stay neutral? And so I feel like that was almost like a critique on like journalism and like objective journalism and things of that sort. I was talking to a buddy of mine on TikTok. His name is Destructo Jugo. Definitely check out his content if you can. But he was talking about how like Alex Garland was saying that this was more of a veneration of those journalists, right? And I have to look up the word veneration. I don't really hear that a lot. He's a really smart guy. But I looked up the word, and it means like to give respect, right? To give respect and like revere like people and things like that. And I didn't really, maybe it's because I don't like really dig on the media like that. And I'm not saying like I'm a conspiracy theorist, and I'm not really like, you know, believing everything the media says either. Like, I can go one way or the other. It doesn't matter. I like to take all information. But I did not get a sense of respect, because I did not know what these people believed in, right? It was almost like they had this obsessive need to get the shot no matter what. And I feel like the ending of the movie, which I won't spoil here, definitely says that, right? Like somebody risked it all to get a shot and things really just don't turn out well. And the indifference there is what really like got me. Sorry, like I felt like something like brush up against my chair. It might have been a ghost. I don't know. I shouldn't say that on this podcast. If you guys hear me like get snatched away, you know why. And I have this recorded. Somebody needs to upload it. But yeah, so like there really wasn't like any real redeeming qualities of these type of characters, right? Because to me, they just kind of felt like they were protected under the badge of press until they wasn't. And then there were moments where that armor cracks in a very violent way and they get pushed into reality. But then they basically push themselves back into the protective bubble that is press, right? And so it's just an interesting conversation that I really want to have of like, do we respect journalists for just capturing and staying impartial? Or do we like give them some of the blame for like recording and not helping? Like we say that about like modern days all the time. Like why are you recording and not helping someone? And there is merit in kind of like getting the truth and showing and like making people see what's happening. But then there's also like, you could be doing something to stop, right? And like, that doesn't absolve you from like, you know, what's happening around you. You're also part of the problem. So there's some really interesting things happening with this movie that I really dug. And the fact that I was asking all these questions and was so wrapped up into the action, the performances, like Jesse Plemons has one of the best scenes in the movie. He's like I would say he's a Trump stand-in. There's a way that he says China multiple times that I was like, okay, this is definitely a Trump stand-in right here, right? But that scene was just filled with tension, and it definitely kind of like encapsulated everything that this movie, I feel, was trying to say, right? And you've seen it in the commercial, like the We're American. Okay, what kind of American, right? And like, you know, again, they try to like hide behind, oh, we're press, and he's just like, don't care about that. You know what I'm saying? Like, what are you? And so like, I feel like it's one of the best scenes of the year so far. You know, it's really, really great. But yeah, man, like this movie, just there's so much I can get into with this movie, and I don't really want to spoil it. Plus, there's more podcasts to get into. So I'm gonna just leave it at that. Alice Garland's Civil War from A24, phenomenal movie. I think it's one of the best of the year so far. It's in my top five so far. I really loved it. I'm gonna give it like about a 4.4 out of 5 straw hats there. And I think that's like really, really fair to do. All right, so moving on. I went to CinemaCon, guys. And CinemaCon, again, for those who don't know, is like this big convention where movie studios kind of reveal a bunch of stuff. So I saw a lot of things that were revealed. Now, if you follow me on TikTok, chances are you saw like my recap TikTok, but now this will give me a chance to kind of like go in depth with a lot more things. Now, it's a lot, so I won't be able to go in depth on everything, but I'm going to be looking through my notes here, and I'm just going to tell you some of the things that I experienced while I was there, as well as give you like some of the background, like some of the things that were happening with the stage, the presentation, things of that sort. So on the first day, this was Monday, I think, the Monday of CinemaCon, I wrote down day one, Sony and Crunchyroll. That was like Tuesday was the first day. I got there on Monday where they just had like other things. But Tuesday was the first day. It was 9 o'clock a.m. and it was the Sony Crunchyroll presentation, right? And this is what I found really interesting because, again, like I said, studios usually begin their presentations with like, oh yeah, we made this much money last year. We had this movie blow up. These people really resonated with this movie, blah, 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 blah. And then they go into like their opening slate, right? Now, this is very interesting because Sony themselves did not have a presentation, right? Which kind of bummed me out because I'm trying to wait for the Sonic the Hedgehog. What am I talking about? I'm waiting for the Sony's Across the Spider-Verse, right? Like the sequel to Across the Spider-Verse. Just any Spider-Verse news, to be honest. And Jesus. they talked about like some like their anime movies from Crunchyroll that they're putting out in theaters, like their theatrical releases. Now, before I get into that, they really were trying to make anime a thing. It was, and when I say they want to make anime a thing, like I'm not saying like anime sucks. What I'm saying is they were trying to convince people that anime is a thing. You know what I'm saying? They spent like a good 25, 30 minutes of their opening monologue of like, people watch anime. Here are our fans. They're adults. Animation isn't just for kids. Guys, Hayao Miyazaki won Best Animated Feature twice, most recently 2 months ago. You know, they like just really trying hard to just make people understand that this is actually an art form, that this is a medium, that this is something that people love and we should take it more seriously, right? Almost like a Sony going, hey, so we acquired Crunchyroll. Can we start taking it like seriously now? Can we just like understand that? And they start talking about how like it influenced so many movies that you guys are about to see and things like this and blah, 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 blah. And I was just kind of like, yeah, like, you know, this is true. The few anime fans that were in the crowd were just kind of like, yep, this is great. And I remember there was this hilarious moment. There was a couple of hilarious moments where they would like go through their slate. They'll say the name of an anime. And then like at least two people would be like, woo, you know, just like, imagine it's a big auditorium. It's like, it's an auditorium where like a lot of like concerts happen. So it's a huge auditorium. So you literally would hear just one person, two people, yay. Like, you know, so like they revealed movies for Haikyuu, which is my second favorite anime right under One Piece, right? And it's been gone since 2020. So I've been waiting for anything Haikyuu related forever. And they said, yeah, we got Haikyuu coming. And I was like, yeah, Haikyuu. And the guy downstairs, I think his name was Mitchell Berger, was like, yeah, that's right. That guy's cool. It was really funny. And then like, you know, he talked about Overlord. I'm not an Overlord fan. Apparently there's a movie coming out. Apparently it's really good. But like nobody gave no love to it. I never watched it, so I couldn't give any love to it. So that was funny. And then he talked about like the Spy Family movie coming out. I haven't watched Spy Family, but there was some people in the crowd just kind of like, yeah, Spy Family. And then they were talking about the Fruits Baskets movie. And I was just kind of like, yeah, Fruits Baskets, yeah. Literally, I was the only person. And I was, yeah, Fruits Baskets. And the guy said, yes, give that man something. Give him a prize, a cookie, something. Like, because you could tell he just wanted people to understand how much Crunchyroll and Sony's acquisition is like, is a good thing. And nobody was like really digging on it like that. But yeah, so anyway, the movies that they announced were Haikyuu Dumpster Battle, which is really great. Nakoma and Karasuno are finally going to go at it after practicing so many times. Then they were talking about the Blue Lock episode Nagi movie, which, again, haven't gotten a Blue Lock yet, but the trailer that they showed really made me want to get into Blue Lock. And for those who don't know, Blue Lock is pretty much a anime about a competition to find the world's best striker. And there's 300 people and there can only be one, pretty much a Highlander situation. Now, again, I didn't see it, but that trailer really made me want to see it because it talks about how like that you have to have a huge ego in order to be a striker. Like if you're like a second away from winning the championship and you have a wide open teammate, you're still going to take the shot because that's what a striker does. If you're doing that, run through this door, and then like one person out of like 300 just starts booking for the door looking like a maniac, and then slowly all 300 people start running towards the door. It was freaking amazing. Then they showed us like a good 10 minutes of the Spy Family movie. Spy Family Code White is what it's called. This is Spy Family's first film. I know it's a very popular anime. People keep telling me to watch it. I haven't watched it, but they did show us the first 10 minutes and it did look really cute. It did make me want to like get on it. Plus like the female protagonist is very, very hot. And don't misconstrue. I'm not talking about the woman. I'm talking about the fake wife, the assassin. I can't remember her name, but she looked good. I saw a lot of cosplays and I was like, I see why people cosplay her now. But yeah, so that was like the Sony Crunchyroll thing. I really wish Sony would have came by themselves and told us just a little something about Spider-Man and Beyond the Spider-Verse. I was really hoping for that, but we didn't get that, alas. Later on that day, we got the Warner Brothers presentation, right? Which I would have thought Warner Brothers would have been coming out like the next day or something like that, but I was happy to get it because I think Warner Brothers had the best presentation last year. So to get them first kind of was like, oh yeah, this is great. So Warner Brothers, there's a lot here. And so I might speed run this a little bit, but I'm gonna like do it. So M. Night Shyamalan, or I should say the Shyamalans, have two movies coming out from Warner Brothers. M. Night Shyamalan has his movie coming out called, one second, Trapped. And Trapped was a very intriguing trailer. They showed us a trailer for that one and it stars Josh Hartnett, and the trailer is essentially about a guy who has a daughter that he loves very much. He's taking her to a concert to her favorite artist, you know, a daddy-daughter date. And as he goes to get popcorn, he realizes that there's a lot of policemen around, and so he asks someone, hey man, what's going on? The guy says, I'm not supposed to tell you. But I'm gonna tell you anyway. So there's, you know, that serial killer that's been going around. Well, they got tip that he's going to be here, and they're setting a trap for him. Pause. So, you know, that's the premise of the movie, except surprise, Josh Hartnett is actually the killer. Now, M. Night Shyamalan always has the banger premise. He always has the most banger premise plots that you could think of. It's just the execution of them are not always great. So once again, just like with Old, just like with Lady in the Water, just like with The Village, just like with Avatar The Last Airbender, I'm in. Like, I'm in. I'm going to watch it. Like, I'm going to watch it for this premise, because that is very, very intriguing, to make a serial killer the protagonist who is already trapped, and how will he get out of it with his daughter? Like, that's kind of like pretty, pretty cool. So we'll see. It was like a, it really took a nice little change. The flip was really cool. Then you have the other Shyamalan movie called The Watchers. This one is, I believe, Shana Shyamalan, and she's the daughter of M. Night Shyamalan, and she's going to do this movie called The Watchers, starring Dakota Fanning. I don't know why, like, I blanked on that. There's Elle Fanning now, so, like, I gotta really separate the two. But this is essentially about a woman who gets lost in the woods, and then out of nowhere, she gets trapped in like one room enclosure where she's being watched by these aliens or something like that in the middle of the woods. Very unsettling premise as well. I think this is her directorial debut. You know, Nepo baby, you're just going to say it. But it looks like a promising premise. Looks very like horror, like psychological affecting stuff. I was really into it when I first saw the trailer, and it was really good to see her and her father kind of like unveil these movies together. I have daddy issues, so, like, you know, that just kind of like warmed my heart. Ooh, there's a lot of these things. They showed us like the first a five to six minute trailer of Furiosa. And as you guys know, that's Furiosa, a Mad Max saga. It's part of the Mad Max tale. It's like a prequel to Mad Max Fury Road that follows the character of Furiosa, like, as she was like taken and like what happens to her after that. So we got some news. Apparently this will take place over 16 to 18 years. So we're pretty much going to go from like when she's a child and catch us up to either Anya Taylor-Joy's character, or at the very least Charlize Theron's character. And we don't know if Charlize is going to be in the movie. I'm not saying she's going to be in the movie, but if it takes place over that amount of years, we could see her. And then, you know, we saw like a lot of motivations between Immortan Joe and Chris Hemsworth character. They both came onto the stage as well as George Miller to talk about the movie. And, you know, I'm not going to say it 100% got me on board, because I've been saying when it comes to Furiosa, it looks a little too shiny in comparison to Mad Max Fury Road. So I say that about Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes too. There's just something off about it that like doesn't necessarily like put me into it. But I do like the scope and scale of this movie and how it's going to take place over a grand timeline. So we'll see how it goes, but I'm not really bought on it just yet. And then there's this movie called Horizon, an American Saga. This is a movie directed and written and starring Kevin Costner. He's playing like basically a cowboy in the West during I think a couple years after or before the Civil War. And it's essentially like a two-part movie. The first part will come in June, and then the next part will come in August, I believe. I think it's either June and August or July and August, either way. But he says it's going to be a four-part movie. He started working on this movie back in 1988, tried to get it up, and then it just kept getting shot down, and now this is finally it. Now, it does look like a big epic. However, hard to say if this movie is really going to do well, because, like, as we all know, Kevin Costner is also in Yellowstone. I believe he's in Yellowstone. And I remember seeing the poster walking through the halls of CinemaCon and thinking that they were doing a Yellowstone movie. So, you know, I don't know the audience of Yellowstone. I'm pretty sure there are people who absolutely love it. I'm pretty sure it has a big audience, or else it wouldn't be going as long as it is. But as far as like movie goes and like marketing goes, the success of it, I really can't tell. I do know that they're going to get the Yellowstone crowd for sure. But we'll see if it like will get that four-part finale that it needs. We know it's going to get two, but if they're both coming out in theaters, because they made it very clear that these movies are coming out in theaters and so close together too, it's just, I don't know. Who knows? But yeah, the next movie that I want to talk about is Beetlejuice. Now, they didn't show us a lot from Beetlejuice. They really were more talking about like the legacy of Beetlejuice behind the scenes. So we saw Jenna Ortega, we saw Catherine O'Hara, we saw Winona Ryder talk about it. And then we also saw Michael Keaton kind of talk about how great it is to step back into it. But what I really love is that they were really putting an emphasis on practical effects. And that was like one of the cool things about the original Beetlejuice was that the practical effects were on 10. Plus, like, there's use of like stop motion animation. They're using that again in this one. And they were showing like a behind the scenes moments of those practical effects. One of my favorite ones from that BTS was Beetlejuice's stomach was like really, really big. And then we saw it literally explode and all these things pop out. Mind you, Michael Keaton is in the costume and this is what's happening. So you're just seeing like the love that is being put to it, how much like care they have for the property. And I just got to say, the one thing that kind of like kept giving me pause was a couple of the actors were just kind of like, oh yeah, if people don't like it, fuck them. Like literally Catherine O'Hara literally said that, like, oh, if people don't like it, screw them. Like she said those verbatim. And then, you know, Michael Keaton kept saying the words like, oh, yeah, it's fun, da-da-da-da. And, you know, every time somebody says a movie is fun, you'd like to think that, oh, that means it's bad. But I got a lot of joy seeing the other actors get joy from, like, that. So that really made me happy. So I have high hopes for Beetlejuice. I am really on board with that, and that's what I will say about that. Next up, we have Mickey 17, the new Bong Joon-ho movie. As you guys, if you guys don't know, Bong Joon-ho is the director of Parasite, Okja, and Snowpiercer. He's now following those up with this new movie starring Robert Pattinson. And this is a story essentially about like a dystopian future where humans are living in space. And like this guy, played by Robert Pattinson, has the job of doing all these other jobs and dying while on those jobs. So what happens is that he dies, they clone him again, and then he just goes back to work, right? And then everything kind of goes left when he goes to lay in his bed after a long day of dying. And there's another version of him. And so now there's two of them trying to like pretty much break down the system or something or other. The movie also has like Mark Ruffalo. The movie has Michelle Yeoh, I believe. It has Mark Ruffalo, Toni Collette, Steven Yeun. And it's a stacked cast. And Robert Pattinson once again is proving that he's just an all-around great actor. Like he's so good. Like he plays so many different versions of himself, and he's like changing his voice. Like for those who found out that he can do great voice acting from The Boy and the Heron, he's doing it yet again in this movie. And Bong Joon-ho was like really charismatic. He talked about how like, you know, he loved the book that this is based off of. And I think the book is actually called like Mickey like 7. But the reason why he calls it Mickey 17 is because he killed Robert Pattinson 10 more times. So now it's called Mickey 17. So that was like a really fun moment. And he said that like in English, even though like his English isn't his primary language. So that was really cool. But this shot up to like one of my most anticipated movies of the year list. I believe it's coming out January 2025. So it's one of my most anticipated movies of 2025. I could see this being moved up because I feel like people really do love Bong after Parasite. So we'll see. Mickey 17 looking really great. Now, let's see. I think those are most of the things that like I wrote down. Obviously, the Joker trailer, Joker Folie à Deux. I can do like maybe a whole podcast or a whole video just based off of that trailer. But I really liked how in that trailer there was a lot of parallels between that and parallels between the first one, right? Like with Lady Gaga's Harley Quinn like doing her like finger to her head and pretending to like shoot herself in the brain. That was something that was going on in the first movie where Arthur and Zazie Beetz's character, whenever they would see each other, that's what they would do until it got like very like dark towards the end. But this time it's like a more like loving, more like, oh, she's just like me type of moment. But it just, there was like really, people have been like really getting on this movie about it being a musical, and they're taking their hate for musicals into consideration without thinking of like, this is kind of lending itself to a musical. Like obviously like Arthur, his whole thing throughout that whole movie was like dancing, the dancing in the bathroom, the dancing on stage, the dancing down the stairs. Everything was just very vaudevillian, right? Even the ending of the movie was very like musical-esque. And so like the moment where he and Harley danced in the trailer, and then you can kind of see them dancing through destruction, that it now contextualizes why they are doing this. It's all in their head. And I really, really liked how they did that. So it was a great trailer, really dark. I really liked the first Joker when it came out. And I feel like with this one, I feel like they really need to play up the fact that this is a toxic, abusive relationship between the two. But that's what Folie à Deux means. It's like means toxic and abusive. So that's what I got to say about that. And the last thing that I want to talk about, and this is something that was really surprising for Warner Brothers, because the only thing that we really got from Warner Brothers DC related was that Joker trailer. But we were waiting on like updates of like Superman, right? James Gunn's Superman movie. And they kind of alluded to it. James Gunn did come on and like talk about like how Superman's very important to him and things like that. But they actually revealed another Superman movie that they're working on. And this one is a documentary about Christopher Reeves. And this movie is called Superman, the Christopher Reeves story. And it pretty much like runs over like Christopher Reeves, like after like he was paralyzed and after like he got sick and like his life after the fact. Like you see his kids, you see his wife talking about it. You see his friendship with Robin Williams. And honestly, it brought everybody to tears. It was something that we weren't expecting. And I feel like that right there absolutely is something that we should be talking about, something that we should look forward to. I know we're excited for the new Superman movie from James Gunn, but that was really cool how they subverted our expectations and gave us a chance to really get to know that movie and to get to know that man. And I feel like a lot of people after seeing that movie will come up with a better appreciation for Christopher Reeves as like a man, not just Superman, because he himself is a Superman. So Superman, the Christopher Reeves story, really excited to see that. Brought me to tears. It was one of the biggest surprises of CinemaCon. They also announced the new Final Destination movie. So not to go from this to that, but that's literally what they did. So that was really cool. All right, going into day two, there is a lot of what is happening. So day two, who did day two? I believe this is Universal. Yeah, Universal did day two, and they announced a bunch of things. They announced Never Let Go, which is a horror movie with... No, I'm sorry. This is actually Lionsgate. And the reason why I'm so turned around on this right now is because for Lionsgate, I was doing the interviews downstairs. And for those who saw my TikTok, like that's where I met Halle Berry, where she complimented my beard, and I melted. But yeah, so I was downstairs doing interviews, and like we interviewed Eli Roth and Ariana Greenblatt, who basically directed and star in the new Borderlands movie. I also interviewed Halle Berry, who is in Never Let Go, the horror movie. And then we were supposed to get Henry Cavill for the Ungentlemanly movie. I can't remember the name of the whole thing. And then Aziz Ansari for his new movie as well, Good Fortune. However, we didn't get the last two, but we did get the first three. And so I missed like the first 30, maybe 40 minutes of the Lionsgate presentation. So my Lionsgate notes are pretty light. I do understand that they showed the Michael Jackson biopic trailer. I still have not seen it, which, as you guys know, I've been covering the Michael Jackson biopic, so that really kind of bummed me out. But they did like announce a movie called like The Killer's Game, where Drax and Mantis, obviously like Batista and Palm Clementif, are in it. And they're both like basically assassins. Honestly, I should do a video about that, because like that one actually really intrigued me a lot. They showed us like a trailer for this movie called The Greatest Pageant like ever. And I call this Bebe Kids, but white Bebe Kids. Look up Bebe Kids if you ever like, if you never heard about it. It's basically that. It's about these badass kids and a family just trying to like do good by them by like on Christmas. Flight Risk, we got a trailer for that. We got a trailer for Shadow Force, and it's pretty much like an assassin movie with, I think it, I know it has Davine, Joy Randolph. It has, what's his name? Omar Sy. Yeah, I think Omar Sy. I believe that. And then also, is it Kerry Washington? I want to say, yeah, Kerry Washington. They're basically like assassins. I wrote down black assassin movie. Again, my notes are really light because I was like, I came in late, so I'm just trying to like write down everything. And then we have the new movie Good Fortune, directed by Aziz Ansari, who's making his directorial debut, starring Keanu Reeves and Seth Rogen and him. So it's a comedy about this guy who's just pretty much down on his luck. He lives in his car, and then he's like basically like task rabbiting for rich Seth Rogen, and Keanu Reeves, who is like an angel, tries to like switch their lives to get him to understand that, hey, your life is actually pretty great. But Aziza doesn't want to leave that life now, so it hijinks ensue. I don't know why I can't talk, it's late. So that's the Lion Gates presentation. After that, we're moving on into the Universal presentation. And obviously, like, Illumination got their love for Despicable Me 4. They showed us, like, a whole scene. They showed us a trailer. I'm not a fan of Despicable Me, guys. I'm just not going to try and spend any more time on this than I really need to, because we're about to hit up on 40 minutes, and we still got, like, at least two more studios to get through and a lot of things to talk about. But then we have Twisters. Obviously, everybody's excited for Twisters. Glenn Powell, like, is crushing things right now in Hollywood. And I was going to see this movie regardless, and the trailer just reaffirmed that for me. So there's really not a lot I can say there. Twisters. It's Twisters. It's twins. It's twins. Like, come on. Then let's see. Universal and Blumhouse, right? They really came together. They were making, like, these announcements for, like, all their things coming out. Like, they announced a Five Nights at Freddy's sequel, which... You guys know me. I put Five Nights at Freddy's as one of my worst movies of the year. I didn't like the movie. I understand that it was mostly for the fans and the fans loved it, and that is good for you. Not downplaying that at all. It just wasn't for me. So like them getting a sequel, I'm happy for the fans. So congratulations to you guys. Megan, I am happy for. They announced a sequel to Megan as well in the same breath as Five Nights at Freddy's. So I'm really excited to see some more of Megan. I wasn't going to call her Samantha, even though her name is in the title. They said those are going to be coming out in 2025 and 2026, respectively. Next thing we know, we got Wolfman footage. And Julia Garner, who has just been cast as the Silver Surfer in the Fantastic Four movie coming out pretty soon, is going to be in this Wolfman movie. And this Wolfman movie, I'm not sure if it's going to be in this new monster universe, but it is like from the producers that brought us The Invisible Man with Elizabeth Moss. And The Invisible Man is like one of my favorite new horror movies to ever come out. And I really love how they took that angle with that like monster. So I really hope that it looks like they're going to be doing that as well with the Wolfman. And we saw some footage, and to get into a little bit of the description, we see a father and a daughter and Julia Garner, and he's basically like locking her inside this house in order to protect her. And there's this line that says, "You're trying to protect her from the horrors outside the house. What about the horrors within?" And then like we never see him as the Wolfman, but we do hear a little bit of the transformation. We hear shadows, like we see like, you know, doors being like ripped open, things like that. So it definitely fits a vibe. It definitely like has like a human angle that is trying to go through and just dropping a Wolfman into that angle. So the Wolfman looks very, very promising, and I'm really, really excited, especially knowing that like the people who worked on Invisible Man worked on that. So that was really, 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 really cool. James McAvoy's new movie Speak No Evil, the trailer just went out for everybody, so they showed us that trailer. So if you want to see that, check it out. Don't really want to get super into that. And then there's subsidiary focus features, like talked about the movies like Back to Black with it, which is the Amy Winehouse biopic. Then you have The Bike Riders, which is something that I didn't know about, that has Austin Butler, Norman Reedus, and Jodie Comer and Tom Hardy as like a biker gang that starts off as like a social club, and then they become like a gang, like Sons of Anarchy gang, and it looks really, really good. I joked and said that this is Austin Butler's excuse to keep that accent he's been doing. But it looks really good. It looks really good. Jodie Comer looks to be putting in a really, really great performance. She looks almost unrecognizable because she changed her hair. Then we have Conclave. I'm not going to lie. This is a movie about a conclave filled with priests. Don't really care for stuff like that. And I just kind of like tuned out. Not going to lie. Like it has Ralph Fiennes. And apparently like these people are trying to choose a new pope, but there's like corruption and like scandal happening or something like that. I was just kind of like, eh. Then we have Nosferatu. We got our first look at that. We got the first teaser trailer for that. They haven't released it, and a lot of it was almost like tone setting, right? Like we see a lot of the characters. We learned that Willem Dafoe is in the movie. Nicholas Holt is in the movie, and they never show Nosferatu, who's played by Bill Skarsgård. But you can feel the presence, right? You can feel the terror that he's like inciting on everyone. And it just looks beautifully shot. Like Robert Eggers definitely knows how to shoot a picture. And we get that classic kind of like, I think like, I don't want to say like, it's like the Dimensions or whatever. I don't know. But like, it just looks like a phenomenal, phenomenal film. And it really is scary when you hear the name Nosferatu, and when you almost see him, that just kind of like triggered something in me. So like, that is my most anticipated movie of the year. I've said this many, many times, and I'm really excited that we finally got like something out of that, and I can't wait for people to see that. So then they go into DreamWorks, and they talk about Wild Robot, and Lupita Nyong'o comes out. They show us a full, like, I want to say like 3-minute trailer, and a lot of it wasn't finished, but even without it being finished, it looks beautiful. It's super emotional. And, you know, they talk about like the book that is based off of, and I got to read this book now to see like where it goes before the movie comes out. But it just looks like something that DreamWorks is going to cherish forever. It looks like it's going to be one of DreamWorks' best movies that they've ever made. So I'm really, really excited for that. For those of you guys who read the book, I guess you know what you're in for. You know, I'm not going to read the book anymore. I'm just going to see the movie. It reminded me of Iron Giant. The voice cast is so stacked, like very, very stacked. And in the first trailer, like, I thought that this was almost going to be like a silent movie, but obviously I knew Lupita was going to be voicing the character, but, you know, I thought it was going to be in the same vein of like Vin Diesel voicing the Iron Giant, you know what I'm saying? But no, there's going to be more voices, actors, and things of that sort, like, and I was happy to see that within this trailer. So the Wild Robot, definitely like like maybe second most anticipated, maybe like top three, top five. So then we got the Wicked. Oh my God, the Wicked trailer. So the Wicked trailer was surrounded by a bunch of things. Number one, Jeff Goldblum showed up. Anything's a good time when Jeff Goldblum showed up because he's actually playing the wizard. But before the trailer showed up, they gave us these like light up roses and they were all like activated like on a Bluetooth like signal. And so they all glowed the same color when the presentation started. And so you feel like you're in Oz. So the presentation structure was already like on 10. But then they showed us the trailer. Ariana Grande comes out and Cynthia Erivo come out. And they pretty much like discuss their relationship, how they spend so much time together because they're playing Glinda and Elphaba. And then they revealed the trailer. And the trailer was just so... it was so magical, so whimsical. It was very humorous. I haven't felt this much wonder watching something about magic since I first saw the Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone trailer. Like, and I kid you not, like, I was just kind of like, wow, this is going to be big. Now, I don't know if they just, it was a long trailer, and I don't know if they put both movies together into that trailer, because this is going to be a part one that we're getting this year. But I don't know if they did like a Harry Potter or Deathly Hallows Part 1, Part 2 situation where when that trailer first came out, it was scenes from both movies. But hearing the music, like seeing the moments, dropping you into the world, this was the best way to get reintroduced to Oz. And I know there's been a couple of attempts in the last few years to reintroduce us to Oz with like Oz and the Great and the Powerful. And there was one other movie about the Wizard of Oz that I can't remember that I don't care about. But this one I'm really, really looking forward to. So it was great. Add to the fact that, like, I don't think they had the roses during the trailer. Yeah, they didn't have the roses during the trailer because I literally said they didn't want to distract us from what was going on. So it was just, like, the presentation leading up to it, the trailer itself, it was just absolutely, it was phenomenal. It was great. All right, so that was day two of CinemaCon. And then moving into day three, this is where things were really getting good, guys. Paramount. So if you guys follow my TikTok, it was a viral video too. It's almost at 2 million views. I walked out of that presentation saying that I think Paramount gave the best presentation in CinemaCon. And this is having not seen the Disney one yet, right? So Paramount was feeling themselves a little bit. They really were. So they really loved the theatrics. They really came out swinging. They were just kind of like, yo, like, we had a good year last year, and this is what we got coming up for the next, like, 3 years. So I'm going to just rattle off some of the things that they said. Heat of the Beast, which is an animated movie that they're really excited about. Heart of the Beast. It says Heat here, but it's Heart of the Beast. They unveiled a G.I. Joe and Transformers live-action crossover. Now, if you guys watched the last Transformers, it was teased, apparently, in a post-credit scene. I stopped watching Transformers before the last night came out because I just can't do it anymore. But I will be tuning in for that G.I. Joe and Transformers. Maybe I'll do a marathon. Who knows? They announced Running Man, which is a remake from the Arnold Schwarzenegger joint, this time directed by Edgar Wright, and it stars, you probably guessed it, Glenn Powell, who's going to kill it in Twisters, and he's also in Hitman and Anyone But You, and he's in everything. The Top Gun, like, he's in everything. So I'm really excited for that. Anything Edgar Wright does, you got to trust him. He's amazing. Then there's this Better Man musical. Now, I don't know if anybody knows Better Man. Like, obviously, like, maybe some theater, Broadway people know. But apparently this is going to be from the director of The Greatest Showman. Now, I don't think The Greatest Showman is a great movie, but that was one hell of a fucking soundtrack and one hell of a musical. So really excited about that. We have the Last Ronin movie, a live action Last Ronin movie, which is a Ninja Turtles movie that is about the surviving member of the Ninja Turtles. And it's going to be rated R. So we're getting a rated R Ninja Turtles movie titled The Last Ronin based off the graphic novel. And I'm just... I'm just saying, God, we eating, bro. We eating with the Ninja Turtles content. I'm telling you, because they also announced the sequel to Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Mutant Mayhem. I don't know if it's going to be called Mutant Mayhem, but it's going to be good. We eating with that Ninja Turtles stuff. They also announced remakes of Naked Gun, as well as a new movie in the Scary Movie franchise. So two spoof movies, the one that you could argue like started it all, and then, like, you know, Scary Movie, which progressively started to go downhill the more and more they went on. But who knows? Maybe they bring the Wayans brothers back. I really hope they do. Or at the very least, just have Donald Glover or Jordan Peele do it. I think we should get Jordan Peele to do it. Yes, I'm subscribed to that idea, and if that doesn't happen, then I'm going to be really, really upset. So, and then this is the thing that got me most excited. This is the thing that got me most excited out of everything in CinemaCon. And mark my words, I mean this. I mean this. South Park creators Matt Stone and Trey Parker are partnering with Kendrick Lamar. And a lot of people thought that it was going to be a musical. I thought it was going to be a musical. Apparently, they said that's not the case. But it's going to have a musical element. It's going to. It's going to have a banger song. So that's my most anticipated movie ever right now. So then they moved on to like the trailers and like the slate. So Paramount showed us the trailer for Transformers 1, which is an animated Transformers movie about the beginning of the relationship between Megatron and Optimus Prime. They're both friends. Optimus is being played by Chris Hemsworth. Megatron is being played by Brian Tyree Henry. We also have characters Vita, played by Scarlett Johansson, and Bumblebee, played by Keegan-Michael Key. So it's essentially like about them learning to transform, like, you know, them basically going on this journey to basically become Transformers, and it's really neat, you know? And, you know, it looks cute. It looks like something that I would totally take my daughter to see. Really nothing really that, like, really got me going like, whoa, but, you know, it's Transformers. People love Transformers. They're always going to love Transformers. So nothing really, like big like for me there. Then apparently there's a Smurfs movie with Rihanna as Smurfette. Don't know how that's gonna go, because to be honest, I didn't really like the DreamWorks animated movie Home, and I just didn't believe her as a little girl. So her playing Smurfette, I don't know, but they did reveal the voice cast, which is huge. I didn't like get a chance to write them all down, but I did write down that John Goodman and Kurt Russell is part of the cast as well. So that's some really big news there. So I can't wait to see all these Smurfs with these like high profile actors being played by them. They also announced a new SpongeBob movie, Search of the Square Pants, which I'm down for any SpongeBob movie. I think all the SpongeBob movies are good. Nothing will beat that first one, but SpongeBob is here to stay. It's my jam. They announced that Interstellar is coming back to theaters for IMAX and digital. They also announced an Avatar Aang movie. Now, we knew that they were going to do like theatrical Avatar movies, but this is the first one that actually has a title, Avatar Aang. So it seems that we're going to get him as an adult and get all his like greatest feats. And then also Dave Bautista was announced to voice the main villain of this movie. Now, Dave Bautista, you guys know how I feel about him. I was just watching him in Knives Out Glass Onion right now. Or is it the other way around? And I just think he's great. So I cannot wait for that movie. We got a new trailer for A Quiet Place Day One. We got a new trailer for Sonic the Hedgehog 3. And we got to see Shadow in action. We got to see Shadow and Sonic fight in the air. But a lot of the trailer was more dedicated to like Dr. Robotnik, like being in a very, very dark place. He was in a very, very dark place, eating a lot of snacks. So his body is starting to get more into the video game accurate look. And then him getting like back into the game, shaving his head and stuff like that. It's the same as last time. But there is a funny joke within the trailer where Knuckles says he is the most powerful hedgehog that I ever fought. And then like, including the one that I fought previously. And Sonic's like, are you talking about me? And he just goes, yes. So like, there's a really funny joke there. We still didn't get Shadow's voice, nor did we get an announcement for his voice actor. I really hope we get that soon, because Hayden Christensen, man, I was hoping he would pop out on that stage, and he just didn't. And it kind of did bum me out. As great as their presentation was, it really did bum me out. But it's fine. I think they're gonna reveal it. I think it's him, and it'll be great. So yeah, and then after we got the trailer for Smile 2 starring Naomi Scott, and I really liked Smile 1. I really liked the premise of Smile 2, where this one follows like Naomi Scott is a pop star, a very popular like music artist, and then like the entity starts like to basically stalk and attack her and things like that. There's one scene in particular where a fan asks for her autograph and like starts smiling, like that unbreakable smile. And she's asking her, do you want me to sign it? And she's just staring at her. And like, it's just a really weird and unnerving interaction. So that was really good. Then we got a full like 6 minutes of Gladiator 2. Now y'all, Gladiator 2 looks incredible, right? It looks, ooh. So this movie has an all-star cast, Pedro Pascal, it's the other one that the name sounds very dead. Paul Mescal, Pedro Pascal, Joseph Quinn, Denzel Washington, like everybody's part of this movie, right? And I'm just really like excited because it seems like Joseph Quinn is playing the son of Joaquin Phoenix's Emperor, because he has like, he's basically doing the same thing, but it's Joseph Quinn and you love him doing it, right? And I just found out that Paul Mescal's character was someone who was a nobleman who decided to strip himself of his titles and go into the arena. And in the trailer, he talks about how he was inspired by Maximus in the first movie, right? And so like the scenes that you see in the first, in this movie and this trailer, they're big, it's huge in scope, it doesn't lose anything at all, and it just feels like Gladiator 2 is just something that I didn't know that I wanted, but I need it now. I really, really need it. And then Denzel Washington just kind of seems like the outside guy that's like ready to like start a rebellion in Rome, which it's pretty great. It's dope as hell. It's dope. Gladiator 2, I literally just wrote wow. I don't know if you guys can see that, but I literally just wrote wow on my phone. You can't see it. It's fine. It's whatever. So that was Paramount. And then the last presentation, because we have 5 minutes left in this podcast, but I might go over the Disney presentation, guys. So Disney knew people were laughing at them, because apparently their last presentation last year wasn't that great. And to be honest, I don't remember much except for they showed us the first 20 minutes of Elemental. But there really wasn't nothing to really write home about, to be honest. Like, I can't even remember the content that I made. So we knew, like, with Deadpool coming out, with, like, people saying what they're saying about the MCU right now, Star Wars right now, plus you guys have D23, what are you going to hold to the chest? Are you going to choose to just go all out right now? There was just a lot of questions popping up for Disney, right? Bro, they kicked off the whole presentation with Hugh Jackman is Wolverine and Ryan Reynolds is Deadpool, full costume, like walking, and he's talking about like, yeah, man, so this person's gonna be in Secret Wars. And I was like, what? And then he like hears a phone ring, and then they both like look at us, and then they literally, Logan walks up to the camera and he's telling us to shut off our phones, and he goes into this just profanity laid tirade of just, I will shove your, and then it's like bleeping everything out. It was like maybe a full 30 seconds of him just cursing at us. And then, like, you know, Wade pulls him away and says, hey, good job breaking your fourth wall, man. That was amazing. And so that was really funny. So let's see. A lot of stuff. Okay, so they show us the first 13 minutes for Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. And I'll admit, I was really on the fence about Kingdom because I had the same complaint that I had about Furiosa. And that was that it looked a little too clean, a little too shiny. And I know you guys are like, oh, it looks shiny. What does that fucking mean? It didn't have like the grittiness or the realness and texture and tone as like, you know, War for the Planet of the Apes or Dawn, or I think it was called, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, right? It just didn't have that. It didn't like have that like kind of like tension. It felt very like clean, very cutesy. Nah, man, this is like, this was immersive, right? The scenery looks great. The CG looks great. The monkeys still feel very much human, right? You care about them. And everything they showed us, I was like completely drawn in, couldn't look away, and I was just having a great, great time with it. The first thing they showed us was like, you know, I believe his name is Noah. The monkey's name is Noah, and he's there with his brother and sister, and they're going through like this ritual of getting like an egg or something and trying to like grab it for like this ritual they have to do later. And it's just a beautiful scene. It's just really, really beautiful. Next up, they gave us a trailer for Young Woman in the Sea. And this is like part of like Disney's like live action sports movies. We see it with Glory Road, McFarlane USA, Queen of Katwa. Like, we've seen it all. And it's just essentially Daisy Ridley playing this woman who's going to swing the English Channel, and like her like lead up to it, as well as the swimming itself. So it looks good. It looks good. They gave us the first 35 minutes of Inside Out 2. That's the whole first act. And I loved this so much. Again, something I can make a whole video about, but this movie tackles like the idea of the sense of self, right? That's like, they expand Riley's mind because she's getting older. She's 13 now. Obviously, we've seen her get her new emotions introduced, anxiety, ennui, envy, and embarrassment. But they introduce the concept of like sense of self and core beliefs, right? And like the core belief system is what makes your sense of self, and like what happens when that gets put in danger, or worse, what happens when you start to like throw away your sense of self, right? And so I feel like right there, the stakes are like definitely heightened. They also talk about how anxiety can kind of like take over even though they mean well, anxiety is just something that like you literally can't control, and it will bottle up your other emotions. We saw that in the previous trailer. But to see the other emotions kind of like interact and the way they like interact with Riley, super entertaining to watch. And I love there was like an explanation of like what anxiety's role is, right? Because this is a movie where like Joy has just learned why sadness is an essential cog in the machine that is Riley's mind. And this puts Joy in that same kind of like headspace of, I need to understand why anxiety is here, right? I know that you guys are important, otherwise you wouldn't be here. But what makes you like, how can I accept you? And anxiety has like this explanation of, you know how fear like protects Riley from things she can see? I protect Riley from things she can't see, which if that isn't the most realist explanation of anxiety that I ever heard. And then fear is like, yeah, we're going to be friends. Like it's fear and anxiety. Like it's just great. So yeah, there's a lot of like great things that are like happening with that. I'm getting a text from my buddy. But anyway, so yeah, he's telling me to wrap this thing up as well. So yeah, there was a lot of great things that were happening in it. I cannot wait to see the other concepts that happen within this movie. It's just great. There's also a new emotion that gets introduced. I'm not going to say what, because they might have did it in marketing, but I'm not going to say what. But yeah, I have a lot of notes for that one. They revealed that Fantastic Four and Thunderbolts are going to be shot in IMAX. They also revealed that Thunderbolts has an asterisk on the name, and that's very important. But Kevin Feige said that they're not going to address it until the movie is out. I think that means a lot of characters are going to die, or at the very least, a multiversal angle will be. So it's basically saying, like, don't get used to these characters. Don't get used to the Thunderbolts as we, like, you know, as we see them. So that's just like a quick little theory of mine. And then obviously, like, they showed us a trailer for Brave New World, the new Captain America movie, Captain America 4, and they showed us a full scene of like Sam meeting the new President Ross, formerly known as General Ross, formerly William Hurt, who sadly passed away, and he's now being played by Harrison Ford. And something tells me that Harrison Ford said, fuck no, I'm not wearing that mustache that Ross is known for, because they literally make a comment in that scene where he says, I almost didn't recognize you, and he's like, oh yeah, like, wife says either like shave it or don't, like, you know what I'm saying? So they make fun of that, but then they also drop the bombshell of Sam is being tasked with restarting the Avengers, confirming that the Avengers after the Sokovia Accords were just completely abolished, right? And they only came together to like fight Thanos, and ever since then they've just been kind of like decommissioned. So now we're in this interesting place of like the Avengers are now like being built up by Sam, right? And then like things start to go haywire, things start to happen. There's a scene that I can't stop thinking about where Isaiah Bradley, for those who watch Falcon and the Winter Soldier, or Captain America and the Winter Soldier, sorry, Isaiah Bradley goes nuts, y'all. He gets, like, somebody puts on a frequency, Isaiah Bradley goes dead face, and he starts zooming through rooms. He starts throwing heavy objects. He starts jumping through windows. Isaiah Bradley was getting it, y'all. So that was really, really cool to see. I don't know how that's going to play into the factor of the plot. Obviously, we know that that movie is going to feature returning actors from the Incredible Hulk movie, like Liv Tyler as Betty Ross, Blake Nelson as the leader. Maybe he's going to be full leader in this, because that's the last time we saw him. And then obviously Ross, who's played by Harrison Ford now. So a lot of people are calling this like the Incredible Hulk 2, but it's Captain America 4, and we'll see what's happening with that. So that was a really, really good trailer. Then they showed us 9 minutes of Deadpool, the first 9 minutes of the Deadpool movie. And just to give like a quick description without spoilers, like Deadpool is like now kind of, it's like pretty much giving us where Deadpool is at in his life right now, right? Like what happened after he like messed with the timeline. Like he's got a group of friends, he has a regular job, and then like, you know, he's at this party with all his friends, and then the TVA comes a knocking, and then we get the TVA scene where he's like being told he's now part of the bigger universe, the MCU universe, you know. And then, you know, we get a lot of like different scenes. We get like confirmation that his like katanas are adamantium, which is like really, really dope. And that was like the first confirmation of adamantium. They could have said vibranium, but that was the first confirmation of adamantium in the MCU. Also, there's a different scene where like the elevator in the TVA opens and we see Wade kind of like do the splits. This time he's like on the wall, just like, oh, like almost like a burlesque like person. It was really, really funny. But yeah, but it's honestly just an extension of the trailer that we saw. Really not a ton of new stuff, but it gets you excited anyway. And then there's like an extra scene where like he and Logan are in like a car together and he's asking about his suit, and then he makes a crack at his suit saying, it's hard to be your partner when like you look like you represent the LA Rams, which it was hilarious, hilarious, hilarious stuff. Also, an iconic line. I don't know if I should be saying this. If you don't want to hear it, like fast forward 10 seconds. Wade looks dead at camera and says, fuck you, Fox. I'm going to Disneyland. And then he headbutts the camera and rakes it. It's so good. It's so freaking great. After that, we got a trailer for Alien Romulus, which again, the Alien franchise to me has been going downhill since Aliens. And there hasn't really been a good Aliens movie since then. And they showed us that. And I was like, this actually looks really rad. Fede Alvarez, who did Evil Dead, as well as See No Evil. No, I'm sorry. Don't. What's that movie with the blind man going crazy? It's not See No Evil. No, it's called Don't Speak. Don't Speak. Don't Speak. Yeah, I think it's called Don't Speak. Yeah, I'll figure it out. But yeah, so like, so Fede Alvarez is directing this one. They give us a really intense scene with the face huggers and like water and like three people like in a android that's trying to reboot before everything goes super, super crazy. And then also like a chest burster scene. They give us a lot. And the tension is really reminiscent of the very first Aliens movie, but it also has like the action of Aliens. But it also has that classic Fede Alvarez kind of like shooting style, right? That frenetic, like not frenetic, but like almost like super clean, like it almost like Upgrade, like almost like what happens in Upgrade, if you can remember what happens in that. I can see my battery is about to die, so let's wrap this up. They give us a trailer for Kinds of Kindness. Like, it's not really different than the trailer that's already out. They announced things like the Night Bitch movie with Amy Adams. I don't know what it's about, but I like the title. They show us a new trailer for Mufasa, and I just call it the National Geographic animals doing animal shit trailer. That's what it looks like, to be honest. You hear words because they talk, but like, it really doesn't really sell me on it. Barry Jenkins sells me on it more, because Barry Jenkins, who directed Moonlight, is actually directing this one, so I'm really excited about that. And then we actually get Moana 2, which we get a performance to go with it. We get Dwayne Johnson, who talks about it and how it's important to his heritage. And then we get a whole scene, it feels like the opening scene, because we get a full song called Who We're Meant to Be, where Moana is talking about how like her life is so much better now that she can go out to sea, explore, and then come back to her home where they're like kind of like able to change and things like that. And everyone's like kind of like bowing down and revering to Moana, who's now a legend. Then we get a trailer, and they don't really tell us much either. And they also don't really show us much Maui as well, which is weird because we just had a whole thing with Dwayne Johnson. But that's the Moana stuff that we got. Really, really cool stuff. I'm looking through my notes to see if I didn't forget anything. And I believe that was it. That was CinemaCon, everybody. Whew, it was a lot, I know. But in the comments, let me know what had you most excited. Let me know what you are about to see the most. And to be honest, this I like these like little podcasts where I could just kind of like talk to camera and just like kind of go off and just give you my full thoughts on things. I might put this out on YouTube like in pieces as well. So if you guys want to check that out, make sure you follow that on YouTube. Subscribe, hit the bell, hit the like, do all those things to help the algorithm see me like you see me. And then also like just interact with the podcast as well. Like share it with your friends. Let everyone know that you're listening. But yeah, guys, that was it. Join us next week as we talk about other movie news and other movie things with guests that you love, as well as movies that I love to talk about. So thank you so much for joining, guys. I'm Straw Hat Goofy, and I will see you when we talk about the next movie.